My series called What is Man? The psalmist said in Psalm 8 and verse 4, What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? And I used as the foundation stone, as the key text from Genesis chapter 1, where God said, Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. God made man in his image and in his likeness. Man is spirit because God is spirit. These are crucial foundational principles that if we don't have a right foundation, we won't have a right understanding. If we are made in God's image, God is spirit, so we are spirit. I am not this flesh and bone. This flesh and bone is the carrier, is the transporter of my spirit. And I have mind, will, and emotion. I have senses. So far, we have learned that man is a spirit. He is in the same class as God. Right? Don't be afraid. If God is spirit, we are spirit. God is eternal, we are eternal. I'm talking about the spirit of man, not the body, not the transporter, the real me, the real you. Today, you are eternal. Didn't Jesus say when he was teaching the people in his day that some would go to that eternal city called heaven and some would go to everlasting punishment? Everlasting means eternal. And whether you have chosen to go to heaven or to hell, it will be eternal. It will be everlasting. And you and I are eternal. We will live forever. We will part from this body. We'll be given a new body, the Bible says. That's for another day. We've learned that there is two kinds of education. I said last week that man's education is to the brain. When Adam sinned in the garden, up to that point, God had led Adam by God's spirit communicating with Adam's spirit. So Adam didn't have to rely upon his mind or upon his senses, because Adam was in the spirit. In the same way that Jesus, when he came upon this earth, the Bible says that Jesus was led of the spirit into the wilderness. It doesn't say that he went aside and he considered and studied and contemplated and decided that he needed to go and have some time in the desert. No. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. That was the way that Adam lived. That was God's intention for all of humanity to live, to be led of the Spirit. Adam sinned, as we have already rehearsed. That connection was broken because God cannot have union with sin. He cannot. That's why he calls upon men to repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that that union can be remade or reborn. A new creature is reborn. When Adam was separated from God, he had to rely upon his senses. for Adam to know what was good or what was bad, what was dangerous. He had to rely upon what he could see, upon what he could hear, what he could smell, what he could taste, and what he could touch. That was his guide. That was how his brain was fed. And I am told by good authority that if a person today doesn't have their five senses, they're called an imbecile. Your brain won't work if you don't have senses. Man is dependent upon his senses for his brain to function. But that was not God's plan. God's plan was that you and I should be led of the Spirit by the example that Jesus gave us. He was led of the Spirit. Now the difficulty here is that the natural doesn't want to release responsibility to the Spirit. It is not the natural thing to do to say, well, I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. Your senses will say, I need to think this through. I need to see the end from the beginning. That's the natural. That is your senses working. But God says that we are to be led of the Spirit. And so the education system that is even in most schools, colleges, universities, and even in some theological seminaries is purely of the senses. It is what man has put together and fathomed out. Okay? It's of the senses. It's of the brain. It is not of the Spirit. That which is of the Spirit is called revelation. And God wants you and I to live today and every day by revelation through your Spirit. Incidentally, as you read the Bible, right throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, the word Spirit and the word heart are interchangeable. So when the psalmist is talking about the heart of man, he's talking about the Spirit of man that can communicate with God. The Spirit. So the heart and the Spirit are one and the same. Now there is a problem that some of us have witnessed, and I witnessed it for a long time, many, many years, that sometimes you witness a miracle that God does. We've had testimony today of miracles. There's one this morning with Brother Stewart in his knee. He was on crutches when he came in because his knee had been damaged in the explosion. And as soon as Pastor Dennis prayed for him, the pain left immediately. Now, some people, and sometimes I, have received healing because I've seen the power of God at work. But I want you to understand tonight that that is not revelation, that is senses. Because it's what we have seen with the eye, or what we have been told into the ear. That is senses. Now the difference, or the implication, is that if you want to receive permanent health, if you want to live in health and avoid sickness, your healing must come through your Spirit, because it's the Spirit that is eternal. I'm not saying that your body will live forever. I'm not implying that. But if you want to live healthy, you see, I've been told many times, and a little confession would be that it irritates me when people tell me that you've got to die of something. Rubbish. You don't have to die of something. All you have to do is for God to say, it's time. And your heart stops. You don't have to be sick. I could name men of God who have said that next Thursday I'm going to go to be with Jesus. And Smith Wigglesworth called his family around him. He spoke with them. And they left the room. And he put his head to one side and died. And they came back in and he was dead. Paul the Apostle tells us very clearly. He said, I am in a strait as to whether I should go to heaven or whether I should stay here. He said, I have the choice. But it's better for you that I stay. So I'm not going to go now. Now, some people would want to argue with you if you try to persuade them that point. Doesn't matter if they don't want to believe the truth. If you see a miracle, that will only give you sense, knowledge, faith. It won't give you revelation faith. And I have been healed of it, but I've had to back it up with faith that came through the Spirit. And faith that comes through the Spirit comes through the Word. Now, faith cometh, the Bible says, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Doesn't just say by hearing, not just by your senses, it comes from the Word. And that's why it's good to read the Word. It's good to read the Word out loud so that it goes both through the eye and through the ear at the same time. We need to have our spirit educated by the Word. And that's why I vehemently encourage people to read healing scriptures. Scriptures that have been put together specifically for healing. To highlight the truth of God's word. That by his stripes I am healed. And I read these scriptures regularly to retain my health. To keep my health. To keep sickness at bay. I remind myself, and I even verbally remind the powers of darkness that are around, that by his stripes I am healed. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. And we need to educate ourselves through the Spirit from the Word, so that we're not relying upon sense, knowledge, faith. Because sense, knowledge, faith will let you down eventually. Because your senses vary. It depends whose company you're in. It depends what you're listening to. It depends what you're seeing. Sense, knowledge, faith changes. And if you're seeing a miracle, you're in a good position to believe for a miracle. I don't want to belittle the power of testimony. I don't mean to do that. But I want you to understand that it's far better to have word faith through your spirit. That's how you keep well. That's how you stay healed. The difference between spirit knowledge and sense knowledge. I want to give you this illustration from Galatians in chapter 5. I believe that last week when I was listening to the CD, it's good medicine. Not always very palatable, but good medicine to listen to your own messages. I said Ephesians 5 last week, and I meant Galatians 5. Let me read a few verses to you from Galatians chapter 5, particularly from verse 16. It's sometimes difficult knowing where to break into a chapter because, as Pastor Dennis has said, these were a letter from start to finish. From the first verse to the last verse is one letter. And Paul was writing to the Galatians. But we'll break in at verse 13, where Paul says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." The word there for flesh could have been senses. Your five senses. See, the earlier part of this chapter and the previous chapter, Paul has been talking about circumcision, which was a big thing in those days. If you hadn't been circumcised, then you weren't acceptable in the church. And circumcision was a big thing. It was part of the law or part of the regulations of the day. And people were saying to St. Paul that we need to be circumcised to be accepted into the synagogue. And Paul is saying, no, whether you're circumcised or you're not circumcised doesn't make a difference. It's faith in Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved. Back to Galatians 5. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, to be liberated from this law of circumcision. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh or the senses, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, the reason he says that is that the primary difference between the old man and the new man, the unregenerate spirit and the born-again spirit, is that the born-again spirit is of love, because God is love. And it will be motivated by love. Its intentions will be always for the good of others, because of love. The old nature, the old man, the unborn again, if there is such a phrase, the unrecreated, the pre-born again, is selfishness. It is about me and mine and self-preservation. It is controlled by selfishness. And Paul here says that the law is fulfilled in this, that you will love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. This is what some of the religions of today are doing. They're going about saying they're going to kill and shoot all of those who don't believe in their religion. And if they can't find anyone else to kill, they'll find someone else that doesn't see it their way, even in their own Muslim faith. And they will bite and devour one another, the Bible says. Verse 16, Paul says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit." The word that I could not remember last week was the word punctuation. It's a word I know quite well, but sometimes I have a job just to find it. Punctuation was not in the Bible when it was written. The translators have added it to try and help us. There was no chapters. There was no verses. There were no commas or full stops. No capital letters. Punctuation has been added at the will of the translator. And that's important. And many, many times I will read a verse or even a chapter and totally ignore every punctuation. And you will be surprised what you see, what is revealed to you. I could give you many, many illustrations of that. Verse 16, Galatians 5, I say then, walk in the Spirit, the born-again Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the senses. See, he's talking about the born-again and the unborn-again, the natural man and the recreated, the new man. The flesh or the senses, as opposed to the born-again spirit. For the flesh lusts against the born-again spirit. And the born-again spirit against the flesh. The Holy Spirit doesn't lust against the flesh. They shouldn't have put a capital S there. It's the born-again spirit that lusts against the senses. And the battle here in this chapter is between the natural and the born again. Some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. I hope I'm not going too fast. But it's important to understand this. That there is the pre-born again. The person who has not received Jesus Christ, he lives with the old man. He lives with the reliance upon senses. But the person who has been born again, and I include myself in there, the Bible says that you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you don't have a need that anyone teach you. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't go to Bible college. That doesn't mean that you don't receive. The book of Proverbs says that a wise man will take counsel. And I find today that most of the people who are successful entrepreneurs, they take counsel. But we have a wisdom that comes from above. The second chapter of the book of Proverbs says that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding come from above. And I'm not sure whether it's chapter 5 or chapter 7, says that you must say that wisdom is my sister. And that understanding is my kin. We own them. We have access to them because we are born again. We are led of the Spirit. We are not relying upon the senses. When I get an ache in my head, I don't think to myself, whatever could I be going down with? I think to myself, what am I coming up with? I'm coming up with a good verse that tells me where I am, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that by His stripes I am healed. Not I will be. I'm not looking to a future day. Symptoms have nothing to do with it for me. I may have to grim and bide them at times, but the Word is final authority for me, because that's where I feed my spirit. And if the Word says that I am healed of angina, I am healed of angina. Most of you have heard my testimony. how that in, I think it was 2003 or 4, that I was diagnosed with angina. They told me there is no cure for angina. They hadn't included God in that. When I had an angiogram, after I'd had prayer and anointing with oil, the angiogram said, you haven't got any angina, there's nothing wrong with your heart, and you can have your license back. Now, from time to time, on odd occasions, what do I think? Do I think, perhaps I wasn't healed? Not at all. I'll tell you what I think. I must be careful that I don't get indigestion. And it deceived me into thinking that I'm a sick person. And I say, Lord, I thank you that you have healed me of angina. And I am well and healthy and good. I'm not denying anything. I am refusing to accept the temptation to doubt. Because I know that God healed me. And the enemy is very subtle. Sometimes he'll give me an indigestion pain. And he'll say, ah, is that your heart? No, there's nothing wrong with my heart. It's healed. It's perfectly well. Back to Galatians chapter 5. Verse 17, for the flesh or the senses lusts against the born-again spirit, and the born-again spirit lusts against the flesh or the senses. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, he'd been talking about circumcision or not being circumcised. Those who were saying that they needed to be circumcised were pursuing the law. Because up to that point, the law had said that every male child had to be circumcised. Okay? So he's saying, look, you're not under the law if you're led by the Spirit, the born-again Spirit. Now, the works of the flesh or the senses are evident, which are adultery, fornication, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. They are the works of the flesh or of the senses. Our natural reactions. And if we are born again tonight, and I trust that we all are, then we can be led by the Spirit of God. We can know that we don't have to rely upon our senses. We use them, but they're not our final authority. Romans 8 deals with the same problem. I just read 2 or 3 verses. Romans 8 is very well known. I'll read it so that I get it correct. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh or the senses, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh or the senses, your 5 senses, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh or senses. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh and in the senses, in the natural man, he condemned it, that the righteous requirements of the law of God might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh or the senses. My question to you tonight is, are you walking according to the natural senses? According to what people would think we should do? Or are we walking according to the Spirit that gives revelation? God will say, yes, you will know that you know that you know when the Spirit has spoken to you. You know in your knower is the way I understand it. You know that you know. You haven't heard an audible voice. You haven't seen an armless handwriting on the wall. But you know that it's more real than the ground you stand on. Because it's in your spirit. It's come into the heart. And you say yes. And if it's touching your pocketbook, you need to know. Because your senses won't help you. Your senses will say, leave the checkbook locked up in the desk. Your spirit will say, I want you to be part of this venture. And Jesus spoke to me over someone who was very poor, who was insolvent. And he spoke to me and he said, took me to the Bible. And I read from his word, from his letter to me, said, sell what you have and give to the poor. Those who are insolvent are fairly poor. I tell you, your senses won't give you much guidance when it comes to your wallet or your purse. You need to be led of your spirit. And friends, my burning desire in this four-part series is that we all fully understand that the unregenerate, the unborn again, relies upon their senses. They have to, because they don't receive revelation. But the born again has communion with God. The spirit of man and the Spirit of God are reunited. And we have access to revelation knowledge. And I come to you with this series, trusting God for revelation knowledge. I haven't learned this through university. I haven't got this from some professor. I got it from the Spirit of God. Now, God does sometimes give revelation to one person to share with another. And I'm not saying that I got it all privately. I'm not saying that. But it's revelation knowledge. It's not head knowledge. And every one of us that is born again must live by the Spirit. For the just shall live by faith. Sense knowledge only gives sense faith. It doesn't give spirit faith. You've probably heard me say before, I hope you remember me saying it, that E.W. Kenyon says, until your spirit gains the mastery over your senses, your faith will never be strong and vigorous. Until your spirit gains the mastery of your senses, your faith will never be strong and vigorous. Proverbs 20 says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching to the inner depths of his heart. And if you want the lamp of the Lord, you need to have your lamp filled with the right oil from the right source. And that might sound simplistic, but it's imperative. You need your lamp filled with the right oil from the right source. And I strongly recommend this source. I have not found a single verse in this book that was false. Every verse that I have stood upon has been secure, has been sound and a good foundation. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If you need direction, it's all here. You may have to look a bit. I remember one saint, a man of God, not sure of his name just at the moment, but it doesn't matter. He said that whenever I come across a problem that needs solving, I go aside and I start reading the Psalms. He said, and I always find the answer to my problem in the Psalms. He said, sometimes I might have to read a whole psalm, and sometimes you may have to read 40 psalms. If you want the answer, it's there. You may have to dig a little. I recommend the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4 that man shall not live by bread alone. Man doesn't live just by eating and drinking and sleeping and working, coming back for a little recreation and a little sleep and back to work. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He has given to us every word for you. Every word is for you to use, to live by. Man shall live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. That's right. By the Spirit, not by the senses. The just shall live by faith. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2 as we come to a close. If you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll just read a few verses there. Sorry, it's chapter 5. I got the reference wrong. And I'm trying to find it in 1 Corinthians. That doesn't help. I'm not sure whether I've got the right reference. Eye has not seen nor ear heard. Is it 1 Corinthians 2? Eye has not seen. Is it 1 Corinthians 2? It is. Thank you. I got the chapter right, but the verse wrong. Yes, thank you for that. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 in particular that I want, but we'll just take a little run in from verse 9. It says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." I tell you tonight, there is nothing hidden from you. God has kept some things for you, but he hasn't kept anything from you. The Spirit searches even the deep things of God. Verse 11, "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" This is what I've been describing tonight. The spirit that is in is the part of the man that knows you, the real you. "Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." This is why we need communion, fellowship, partnership, connection, spirit with spirit. God didn't change his plan in Genesis chapter 1. It was Adam that changed the plan, and Jesus brought the access back to what God intended in Genesis chapter 1. For us to know the deep things of God. For spirit to be led by spirit. Verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words with man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," the natural, or the unborn again, the unregenerate, the old nature, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And that's why before you're born again, you hear people talk about the things of God and God's plan of salvation. And you say, "But I just don't get it. It's too simple. I can't understand it. When I understand it better, then I'll believe." No, you need to believe and then you'll understand. That's how you understand, by believing and confessing with your mouth, and you are born again and your spirit is connected with his spirit. "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But we have the mind of Christ." The Bible says, "But we have the mind of Christ." You can either receive it by believing, or you can doubt it and go without it. I receive it that I have the mind of Christ, because the Bible says so. It's not my pride. It's not speculation. It's receiving and believing the word. 1 John 2 says that you have an anointing from the Holy One, and that anointing dwelleth in you and abideth upon you. I received it and believed it. For many years I didn't. I tell you, for decades I was a Methodist local preacher, and I thought that I was useless, that I was inferior, because I was uneducated. And then God opened my eyes to 1 John 2. And God said to me, "Are you calling me a liar?" God cannot lie. The Bible says you have an anointing. Believe it and receive it. I want to ask you tonight, I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm not asking for any encouragement for me. I'm asking you if tonight you will make the personal, deliberate choice to walk by the Spirit instead of by the senses. You won't always understand it. I'm not sure whether I should share this, but I will do anyway, that there are times when it troubles me when I hear preachers say, "Does that make sense?" There are many times when it doesn't make sense to me, but it makes faith. And that's what matters. If it makes faith, it doesn't need to make sense. You don't have to fully understand it with the brain. You need to receive it if God's word says it. God's word tonight says that you can be a new creation in Christ Jesus because Jesus took your sin. God's word says tonight that you can be healed because he took all of our infirmities in his body that we might be healed. We can believe and receive. To do that, we have to ignore the senses and stand upon the word. And the just shall live by faith. I ask you tonight, will you go from this point onwards and walk by faith? And you will be rewarded. Shall we pray?